Behind me, we'll be playing various pictures of why we were on our trip. Every year, we go down. The Cornerstone Community Church sends a team to Santiago Atitlan, Guatemala, to visit with our sister church, Alpha Omega, and visit with Dan and Daphne Foote and Pedro and Ana Samuk and their families. Last month, our team of nine went down. While there on our devotional time, we focused on the missions mindset of God. Since the beginning, God has been in the business of seeing the world saved. And part of that business is giving us opportunities to be part of His plan. God will take you out of your way for an opportunity to be used by Him. God can use you. God can use us in our everyday opportunities. Sometimes the opportunities can be risky. Sometimes relationships are great opportunities. Opportunities can come in the most unexpected moments. In the end of this presentation, we'll present you some opportunities to be part of God's business. Let's begin with Dick and Janelle.
Thank you. Good morning. First, I'd like to say that I was privileged. This was my fourth trip, by God's grace, and this one was probably the best trip for me personally. Basically, because I started out with a real good attitude about it, and I was looking forward to the trip. And for the most part, I really had a good time. And I had great partners. Janelle and I had great partners here. Jamie and Pat, as most of you probably know, are the leaders of the trip. And even though they're working with adults, it's not an easy responsibility. And I'm glad they're the ones that are doing it. And I hope they continue to do it. We put a little pressure on them today. When they get up there, you can applaud for them. But they do a great job. Just a wonderful job. And then, of course, Keith and Mary, I don't know how many times they've been there. Dozens, or a dozen or more, I think. Anyway, they're just comforting, and they know what to do, and they know how to treat people, and as you know, and they're servants. And so they're great models. And Don and Joanne, Don's got kind of a quiet strength about him. He's just a really good man. And, I'm not the judge of men, but he's a good one. And I know the Lord loves him. He loves the Lord. And you can tell it in him. He's quiet by nature, I think, but he's very powerful in terms of the way he ministers to people. And Joanne was like a kid in a candy store. And I say that to you, I say that in a complimentary way. This was her first time, and she just has a wonderful way about her. You know, she said, look at that bird. Look at that tutu. I was walking back. I said, hey, look at that tree. Anyway, so, but she was a delight, and she had a great time, and I'm sure she can tell you more about it when she gets up here. But we had great help. And, of course, Maria, who not only has a heart for the Lord, she speaks Spanish, obviously, and she's... Believe me, when you're in a country where you don't speak the native language, you can feel real lonely at times. So Maria is a great help to us in a lot of ways, not just because she speaks the language, but that really helped. Okay, what we did this year that was a little bit different, of course, in the morning we went to the schools and prayed with the children, but somebody will tell you about that. In the afternoons, we split up, and the ladies went and visited homes and people, and then the men, one day we went with some of the church elders, and we went into a couple of homes, two or three homes, and then the rest of the time we went with Dan Foote, as you saw Dan here, a missionary, and we went into homes. And the visitations were very, very impactful, because you can see poverty everywhere. You see it here in America. We know about it, and we understand it. Some of us grew up in it. Maybe not like this, though. This is abject poverty. And when you go in some of these homes, and the people were in there because either they're sick and they need prayer, or they need some kind of support, maybe financial support. Some of us were able to help a little bit in that way. But when you go into the homes, and instead of just walking by them all the time and seeing it, and you go into somebody's home and you observe it on a one-to-one basis, it's a little more impactful. But, some of the homes are most of the homes are probably 12 foot by 8 foot maybe, and maybe just a little bit higher than my head, and dark and damp, and it, the conditions are just, you know, just something that, you know, when you walk out of there, you just, it impacts you. It really impacts you. But the thing that really impacted us the most was the fact that we realize, and I realize it too, and I need to do more, and I pray, and you can pray for me that I will do more. There is such a need for us to go out and visit people who, because of their situations, they need support, whether it's financial support or just love and attention, like nursing homes, whatever. I'm making a general comment here. There's such a need, and it can never get done. It can't get done. And but this was one of the highlights of the trip this year for us. We were able to do that, and it made us think when we came home, you know, we really need to get busy, and we need to start going out and see some of these people, not just people we know who are in the church, but make new friends, people who need love and attention. So I'll let Janelle talk to you about that.
As Dick said, we went to the church, and they do visitation 5 days a week. There's a group of men and a group of women that meet in front of the church, and then they split up and go to the homes where the people have need. So the ladies went to one gentleman's house who had been really, really sick. When we went into the room, they just had a dirty sheet hung up by a string that cordoned off where the single bed was, where the gentleman who was ailing, and he actually ended up passing away the next day. But the leader of our group brought her Bible, and she greeted the family. All the family members crowded into the room, from old to very little. And after talking to them in Pseudaheel and then reading from the Bible, everybody got on their knees, and it was a stone, lumpy floor, and everybody prayed, and it was individual prayer. They call it concert prayer. So I would be praying my prayer. Every person would be crying out to the Lord in their own words all at once. So it was like a joyful noise to the Lord. And we were on our knees for, I bet, 30 to 45 minutes. And these were elderly women that led us there. And I even cheated. I got up, you know, with one foot up, so I was only on one knee because my knees were killing me. But you could feel the Holy Spirit in the room. You could feel the genuine love and concern for this man. And it was so impressive to me the way that they honored, the way that they honor their elderly and hold them in the highest of esteem, much like Indian tribes, and you see the chief, the wise old chief, and everybody honors the old chief. It's that way in that culture, and that's one of the things that came home with me, is about honoring the elderly, and that I need to do that more in my life and hopefully spread that to the people that I can affect, because they are great value. And visitation is one of the things that really hit our hearts, and I know that we have some people here at our church. Dan Rona is heading up a visitation team, and so Dick and I want to join that with him and invite anybody who has a heart for the people in need to come join. Let Dan know or let us know, and let's get together. And if we pick once a week, wherever it is that we start, let's get started on it and go out and reach out to people in love in the name of Christ. Thank you.
Well, I'm Mary Van Boglen, and I apologize. My wonderful other half, Keith, is not here this morning because he's plowing for the Waukegan Township. And it's a praise the Lord. You know, this snow for me means that he gets paid because he hasn't been working. So this is just a real blessing for us. So when we see snow, we see green. I was thinking about all those flowers, too, that were mentioned, that they're going to come up beautiful with this nice moisture. Anyway, we were going to talk about and share with you basically God's missions mindset offers opportunities in the everyday. It was mentioned previously that Keith and I have been on many missions trips. I don't even know how many. I'm not a numbers person, really, per se, so I can't tell you how many years, but it's been a lot. And each trip has been very special in itself and has offered an opportunity. And this trip was no different, except this trip for Keith and I was very, it was just the very everyday. We had an opportunity to help the Foots out by babysitting their children. And that's something that we do here stateside because we have two grandchildren here that we watch and we love it and enjoy it. And we were kind of having a little withdrawal down there from those kids, our grandkids. So anyway, an opportunity presented itself where Daphne was out all day in the morning with us to these schools. We see, I don't know how many kids. You know, it's just a sea of children and a lot of excitement, and she's got Naomi with her, her littlest, goes everywhere with us. And then, you know, she's lugging and toting, and praise God, she's just got a wonderful spirit about herself. And her children are, you know, very important part of their ministry. But anyway, Jamie took notice that, you know, it was a long day, and now we were heading into the afternoon, and we're going to do some visitations. And as you've heard already, those were quite impacting and emotional. But it was offered to Daphne to perhaps have Keith and I stay and watch their children, because the others were at school, and they would be coming home, and they would be going on these visitations as well. And we just felt like, well, we're here to serve, and we don't know what that might be, but that presented it time to do what we do here, and that was to babysit. So we did, and we just had an incredibly wonderful time giving Dan and Daphne a little break from the children, because they're down there, and they have no family. All their relatives are stateside, and they don't really ever have a break in that sense. And not that they ever say they were looking for that or want that, but it was a great opportunity for Keith and I because it helped a little bit with the withdrawal we were having from our grandson Alex and our granddaughter Chloe. And we were able to romp with the kids, play with the kids, do just the everyday. And you know, the Lord used that. And sometimes I think we forget here that when we get up in the morning and we get ready for work and we go out the door and we go to our jobs and then we come home and we have to make a meal, and just in those everyday things, I think sometimes we forget that we are serving the Lord. If we're doing it in the spirit and an attitude of serving the Lord, that's what we're doing. That's the everyday. You don't veer off track and do what make a meal for someone and then, you know, that's not serving the Lord. All of that is. So anyway, we had a wonderful time to do that for the Foots and to enjoy the kids. And the kids down there made us cinnamon flats, which if you want to know about, were excellent. So Keith and I have been making those now since we've been home, which we really shouldn't be. I know Aaron would definitely have a problem with it because it's not what you would call non-fattening. Anyway, they're delicious. And so, again, thank you so much for making the opportunity for Keith and I to go, because he hasn't been working, and it was you guys that sponsored us to go. Thank you so much for allowing us to serve the Lord there in Guatemala in the everyday.
This is this was my second trip and Joanne's first trip, and we enjoyed ourselves. The Lord really blesses you when you do things like this. And people have talked a lot about what we actually did there and stuff like that, and it was really great. But one thing that Pastor Abraham was telling us that he wants to do is send the young men from his church to school for continued education. I believe most of the kids there go to about the sixth grade, and then they just drop out of school and have to work. So this ministry
has impacted Joanne and I, and we really have we have a heart for that. We would like to help some of these young men go to school. So we're thinking of ways to raise money and stuff like that. It'll only be about $20-$30, I think, for to do this a month, you know. So for one person to go to school, it would be about $20 to $30 a month. So that's something that seems very easy to do. Anyway, we raise money for Sudan by buying candy and selling it. And we buy candy at this Elston Wholesale Foods down in Chicago, and the man that runs that, we found out, is a Christian. He's a Jordanian Christian, and we were talking to him about the Lord and stuff like that, and he said he has a ministry where he educates young Sudanese men to become pastors. And that kind of got us on this conversation, because Joanne and I have been involved with the Sudanese since 2001, and we've done a lot to raise money for them and just help 150 boys in the Chicagoland area survive, and they've done very well. Well, this gentleman at Mike is his name. I can't pronounce his real name, but we call him Mike. He has a ministry where he educates young Sudanese men to become pastors. And when we found that out, you know, it was like this door opened up, and we just talked, and we talked for a long time. Actually kept him from his business, but he had sons there that were working and helped him out a lot. Anyway, he offered to help. And he called me up yesterday and said he was going to try and make it here this morning, but he didn't, obviously because of the weather. So he did tell me that tomorrow he's going to write a very generous check to help support these people. So I'm going to have to find out how to make this check out. But I think we can do that. But anyway, networking like this and finding other people to help, you know, this kind of ministry is great. And educating the people of Guatemala, the young people, is a very good way to help them. We can go down there and serve and give as much as we can, but they can help themselves out best through education, and that's what we want to do. So if anybody has a heart and can afford $20 a month, give it to this cause, because it's going to help. Do you have anything to say?
Nope. Amen.
Hi, my name is Maria. Like most of you know, I'm going to read something from John 15. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remains in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you, my joy may be in your, and that your joy may be completed. My commands is this: love each other as I love you. With this, it reminds me something that I have saw there with the pastor Abraham. How much love that he has on him to give it to everybody there, including ourselves. Him and I, we spent probably at least half an hour talking, and he was sharing with me how much he wanted us to be part of them by sharing their home, if we would like to stay with them and with the other families. That really make me very special and show me that he has a lot of love for us, and also how he was able to share with us to go with the homes with the people that were sick, and show me that he wants us to be part of the church. And that really opened my eyes that that's how we should be, to show love to each other no matter where you are, what country, what language you speak. That's what it should be, number one for everybody. And with that, it makes me feel like, you know, we have so much to give, even if it's not material, but we have love. We can share and show them for each other. And the same thing with Pedro and his wife and the girls. They had so much passion for their ministry they're doing, and it really touched my heart how much they give with nothing in return. Just spreading the word of God and showing to everybody how much they can give to them. They really touched my heart. Thank you.
Not supposed to do that. That's not my job, right? Hi, I'm Jamie. I'm a control freak. I make lists. I like dotted I's and crossed T's. This is a huge conflict for me when it comes to coordinating this missions trip. I try and plan and organize every aspect of the journey from beginning to end. Before the trip, I make uncountable phone calls and emails. I check and double-check airline websites and the U.S. consulate website for recommendations and warnings. During the trip, I bring the master binder, and it has my budget spreadsheets and my confirmation numbers and my emergency contact numbers and backup travel vouchers, and, well, you get the idea. It goes on and on. But I have learned that missions trips are messy, and they're not able to be planned to the letter, especially not in Guatemala. And I've learned that you can't control the Spirit of God, and I really wouldn't want to. Going on a short-term missions trip is certainly a crash course in learning that I can't control everything, but that God is sovereign over all. It is in unplanned and unexpected moments that God can speak to you and use you. Our trip began according to plan. Our plane took off on time despite the predicted snow. Our bus was ready and waiting. The construction on the Pan Am Highway was not bad enough to delay us, and so we arrived in Panachel in good time and found our hotel without incident. We had reservations at a hotel that we had never stayed at before, which means that I couldn't plan it down to the letter because I had no idea how it was going to be laid out or how it would go. Well, the rooms were clean and bug-free, but they were really small, so you couldn't get around the room without slamming your shin or banging your knee. The bathrooms only provided hot water if you knew the secret, and Maria was the only one to figure out the secret. So when we tried to find the restaurant that had been suggested as being a really good, safe restaurant to eat at by some local missionaries, we couldn't find anyone who had even ever heard of it, and so we ended up eating dinner at the hotel restaurant, which, although no one got sick, the food was not that great. In the morning after our cold showers, we weren't able to find a secluded area to have our morning devotions like we always do, and so we kind of had to have this, like, makeshift devotions over our breakfast, which we ate at the hotel restaurant since it was free with our rooms. After that, with Maria's help, we tried to struggle past the language barrier to explain that we needed just a truck to transport our luggage down to the boat docks. We didn't really need a whole bus to drive us all down there for the 5 blocks that it was. At that point, I was so frustrated, I had made mental and literal notes. We were never going to stay at this hotel ever again. So in the end, the hotel owner decided that he would use his own vehicle to bring our luggage down to the lakefront. And while the guys on the team and one of the hotel workers moved the luggage down to the launch, Maria and I stood there and talked to the hotel owner. He inquired as to the reason for our visit to Guatemala, and Maria told him, because of course they were speaking in Spanish and I'm just standing there, that we come down every year to work with Alfa Omega in Santiago Atitlan. And right away he got really excited. He told us that he had known that we were Christians just because he had observed it in us. And he explained that he, too, was a Christian, along with all of his employees except for the one, which he seemed almost apologetic about. In fact, he was a deacon, and he helped in his church clean and do a lot of other work around the church. We had asked him how much he wanted us to pay him for the use of his truck, and he had said no payment was necessary. However, I had already budgeted. It was on my spreadsheet. So I decided just to give him the whole amount that we had budgeted, which only came out to about $13 in U.S. money. And we said, you know, just tip all your guys who helped us with the luggage for with this, you know, extra. And he said, and here's the unexpected moment part, that the young man who was down there at the lakefront with us helping move his stuff had been trying really hard to support his family and that he was a really hard worker, but that a lot of weeks they hardly had money to feed themselves, and so that the owner was going to give this whole $13 to this guy and that it would make all the difference for this guy for that week for his family to eat. And the owner at that point declared that we were a blessing on them and that he was so glad that we had come, and he gives us hugs and he's kind of giving us almost like a benediction on, of, you know, God's blessing on us. How do you plan a moment like that? I was duly chastised in my heart. I was so caught up in my own plans and comfort that I hadn't even thought twice about how we could be a witness or a blessing in that situation. Here I was on a missions trip, and I was not even very missions-minded. It was just like God to put my whole week in perspective right on the first day like that. Now, I'd love to be able to tell you that after that, I was the picture of missionary-mindedness. Well, although I was more aware of it throughout the week, I still was way too focused on my budget sheets and my itinerary. But the thing is, I didn't need to be planning to be a missionary. God was using me to be a missionary even when I wasn't looking for it to happen.